Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. This will be fun. I hope you know I like this job. I love this job. We get to talk about a ton of different things in Montana. You learn an awful lot. The Dude Ranching Association, right? What do you think of when I say the Dude Ranchers Association? You think, hey, yeah, I bet that might be fun, or hey, I've been a part of that. Hey, that might work for me. We're talking about a century of Western tradition. They are celebrating 100 years. Did you know that? And also, you know where they're going to celebrate that? Their national convention is going to happen here in Montana. So Bryce Albright of the Dude Ranchers Association and Josie Hederman of the Dude Ranch Foundation are going to be joining us here today. A bit later on, too, we'll keep it in the cowboy way of things here. The Montana Cowboy Hall of Fame and Western Heritage Center has just announced their 2026 inductees. So Cowboy Hall of Fame a bit later on. Dwayne Wilson will join us here, president of the Hall of Fame Association, and then we'll get started here too with Dude Ranchers today. This is pretty intriguing here about all the things that Dude Ranchers, you know, have done. They kind of, in my mind, operate a little bit under the radar, except for that certain group that knows them and loves them and are going out there and doing it all the time. Curious about a lot of things here. It's a 100-year tradition as well. How has the Dude Ranching industry changed maybe over that time? And also, you know, they're dealing with the same issues, regenerative grazing, you've got workforce, how do you employ AI, and you know, conservation stewardship of the land. They're dealing with the same issues as ranchers that we do here in Montana on a daily basis as well. We're going to explore that today. Bryce Albright joins us here, executive director of the Dude Ranchers Association, coming to Montana here next week for that national convention. Good morning, Bryce. How are you doing, man?
Good morning, Tom. We're doing well. Thanks for having us on this Monday morning.
Yeah, it's great to have you here too. And I know we hooked up on Friday. You're in Montana, and this whole thing gets going next week. As a matter of fact, January 26th. So we'll get into that. Let's welcome Josie Hederman, too, executive director of the Dude Ranch Foundation, the Montana Connection here. Good morning, Josie. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Monday. Doing well.
Good. Good. Good to hear it. So you're a week out from this, Bryce. Everything coming together?
It is. It's definitely crunch time. You know, this is always a busy time of year whenever we have our convention. But this year it's a little bit bigger just because it is our 100th anniversary of the Dude Ranchers Association and our centennial convention. So this is the big one.
Well, tell me what's, what are you excited about here? And then Josie, I'm going to have you follow up on that. But what are you excited about coming to Montana for? And as I looked at some of those things on the agenda as well, there's a lot of good issues that you're talking about.
There is. You know, we're just excited to be able to come together and bring together a group of Dude Ranchers that really truly care about this legacy and the ranching community in general, whether it's Dude Ranching, cattle ranching, farming, it doesn't really matter. You know, it takes all to be able to do what we do on the Dude Ranchers Association side and keep these Dude Ranches going for 100+ years. And hopefully we see it for another 100 years. We're excited really for this next week to be able to come together and share ideas and network. You know, that's the biggest thing that our ranchers, I think, truly gain from our convention. But we're also going to be covering some topics with some really great keynote speakers that pertain directly to the Dude Ranch industry and the struggles we face. You know, you mentioned regenerative grazing and how to graze horses and how that all comes together. And then we're also going to focus on, you know, how to work with AI in the marketing space and the business space and everything. You know, when we talk about AI and in the ranch world, we all think cattle or, you know, animals, but really we're talking about artificial intelligence in terms of Dude Ranching and how we employ that with marketing and the business side of the operation. And then, you know, we're also going to be talking about workforce and how to hire seasonal employees, but also how to retain those seasonal employees and really, we're just very excited to be able to dive into all this information, bring in some really great vendors, and offer a lot of resources for our members over that entire week.
Josie, I'm going to have you weigh in here as well. You know, give us some of your background and talk about the Dude Ranchers Association here in Montana.
Sure, absolutely. Can you imagine 100 years ago and this trade organization starting to celebrate the best kind of vacation? So even back then, people from out east wanted to come experience the West. And here at the foundation, I've been at the helm for about a year and a half. We were trying to think, how do we commemorate that? What kind of, how can we make it accessible to everybody? And I was fortunate enough to team up with Wyoming PBS, and they have created a full-length documentary celebrating 100 years of this great trade organization. And we are premiering it on Tuesday, January 27th at the DoubleTree in downtown Billings, and it's free and open to the public. And so we'd love to have everybody join us to celebrate.
Yeah, tell us more about that then, for people who are interested. How long is this documentary? And again, when can we access it?
Yeah, so like I said, DoubleTree, downtown Billings, doors open at 6:30 on Tuesday night, next Tuesday, the 27th. And it'll be just kind of getting everybody situated and in place so that we can get the film started. It is a full hour in length. And then we'll follow up with a panel discussion. We have the filmmakers, Alpheus Media from Austin, Texas. They are Emmy Award winning. And the filmmakers will interview some great panelists, including Bryce. And then also a Dude Rancher and a Dude Ranch historian. And so then we'll be able to really take a deep dive after everybody gets to see the film.
Nice. Bryce, what's in the film? I mean, you know, I'm sure Dude Ranching, it was nothing but one big ball of fun for 100 years.
Absolutely. So the documentary itself, this is the worldwide premiere. So this is actually the first time that anyone will be seeing it. But you know, through Alpheus Media and their team, along with Wyoming PBS and Josie's team as well at the foundation, they really dove into, you know, what the Dude Ranch vacation and experience looks like, and, you know, just the history behind it all, how it got started, and then obviously just highlights so much of the great contributions that came to make this association and just the industry in general and how we've made it to 100 years.
Yeah, that's the thing that, like, Josie, you kind of hit on it too. This, can you imagine this 100-year-old trade organization? I did not imagine Dude Ranches being such an industry. Maybe you talk about, and maybe Bryce, you can pick up on that as well. Give us as much as you know, share some of this history. You know, how did we get to 2026 as Dude Ranchers?
Yeah, I mean, Dude Ranch vacations are the best vacations, right? And so people have a need for connection to the land, to horses, to each other. And that's what this type of vacation provides. It is a true, authentic Western experience. And so 100 years ago, the founders knew that, right? And along the way and through all of these decades of the changes in our great nation, people have always needed this kind of vacation. And now that we're in 2026, perhaps it's more than ever, right? And with everybody connected to their devices and with their nose in their cell phone, we find that people need that escape and that connection. And so now we're setting our sights on the next 100 years.
What is this Dude Ranch experience that you talk about? I mean, I suppose it can be different for a lot of different ranches out there. Maybe go through a couple of them, but I think people, I know I do, I imagine somebody comes in rattling old coffee cans at the crack of dawn, and I'm supposed to get up and go mend fences or something like that. I mean, I suppose that Dude Ranching experience is quite varied for many.
It is very diverse, for for sure. But, you know, there are ranches out there that do wake you up with a coffee can rattling, you know, and want you to go help. No, honestly, the Dude Ranch experience really varies depending on what type of experience you're looking for. But all in all, no matter what, when you visit, especially a Dude Ranchers Association member ranch, you're going to be experiencing an authentic experience and an authentic cowboy vacation. So the beauty of Dude Ranchers Association member ranches is they're all inclusive. So meals, lodging, and most activities are included in one price. And there's a real strong focus on horseback riding, of course. And you don't have to be an experienced rider. Actually, most of them cater exactly to beginner riders. And so we really just promote this, and we want people to get involved and appreciate and experience the Western way of life. And that is found on Dude Ranches. And, you know, the Dude Ranchers Association, alongside the Dude Ranch Foundation, works very hard to preserve and protect the lands in which we operate on, and this experience that thousands, hundreds of thousands probably of people by this point, over 100 years, have experienced. And we just want to keep that alive for many years to come.
That's Bryce Albright, Executive Director of the Dude Ranchers Association. Josie Hederman is also with us here with the Dude Ranch Foundation. Again, that the national organization, they're celebrating their 100th anniversary here in Billings, Montana. So it's at the Doubletree, and then is it also at the Northern as well, or?
That's correct. Yeah. Yes, the majority of the convention is over at the Northern Hotel. And we're just have the opportunity to also support another Billings business by going over to the Doubletree on Tuesday night for the documentary premiere.
Yeah, that's at 6:30 and free to the public again. So Josie or Bryce, whoever kind of wants to handle this, how many Dude Ranchers are there? What is life like as a Dude Ranch? Are they still working ranches? There's dudes all over the place, but there's you know, certain dudes who know what they're doing out there in the world, so to speak. What is the average Dude Rancher like? And can the average Montana rancher be a Dude Ranch?
Yeah. So currently we represent 90 member Dude Ranches across the Western U.S., and ranches do have to apply to be members of our association, and they vary. Working Dude Ranches, where guests can go and participate in day-to-day cattle ranch and working ranch activities. Maybe you are going and fixing fence or helping move cattle from one pasture to another. You have the traditional Dude Ranch experience, which offers the opportunity to really just focus in on family time and the people and the land around you by horseback riding, hiking, maybe fly fishing, river rafting, you know, getting to enjoy those different types of activities. And then we even have luxury style properties where, you know, you still get to do those really fun outdoor activities and experience that Western culture, but with a little bit of flair. And, you know, you might be seeing some gourmet food at those places and, you know, maybe even a spa treatment here or there. But truly, there's something for everyone. And that's what we love about Dude Ranches is no matter what you're looking for in a vacation, we have a ranch for it. And we really love to be able to help match people to the right Dude Ranch, of course. And actually within our membership, just in the state of Montana, 18 of those Dude Ranches of the 90 are in Montana, and several are very long-standing members of the Dude Ranchers Association.
You know, the 2026 class of inductees for the Montana Cowboy Hall of Fame has been released recently. Dwayne Wilson will join us here to talk about some of those cowboys. Gerald Jerry Peterson out of Lewistown being honored for District 6. In Malta, it's Betty Lorraine Blair Steele, also White Sulphur Springs Jock and Jamie Doggett. We'll hear some stories of what qualifies as a Cowboy Hall of Fame inductee, and that's a bit later on. We're with Bryce Albright, Executive Director of the Dude Ranchers Association, and also with the Dude Ranch Foundation is Josie Hederman. They are celebrating 100 years, and that national convention is going to be in Billings here next week. It starts actually the 26th through the 30th. Good stuff, you guys. Thanks for coming on. Bryce, Josie, you can follow up on this as well. But I want to go into what Dude Ranching is like. I mean, you know, how many of them are like actual producing ranches, and you know, what are the issues of conservation easements? I know are some things that may be relatively new to a lot of people on the scene, but not to the egg industry. So, Bryce, what's going on?
Yeah, so about, I would say roughly about 30% of our membership would be what you classify as, you know, a working cattle ranch. And so they're facing many of the same issues in the agriculture space as a lot of, you know, ranchers, especially in Montana and the West, are facing. But dude ranches have a little bit of a different scale and operation that they work on. And Josie can talk a lot more to the conservation side of things and the preservation of the land. But of course, we're all working towards the same goal of ensuring that, you know, public lands are able to still be accessed, along with being taking care of the dude ranch lands that are private that these ranches operate on. So Josie, do you have much information or statistics on how conservation, you know, how important it is to the dude ranch industry and everything that ranches are facing in terms of land, whether it's wildfires or conservation easements or any of those type of things?
Sure, sure. Well, of course, there's no limit to the challenges ranchers are facing. But one interesting statistic is that the U.S. Census Bureau predicts that 89% of Americans will live in urban areas by the year 2050. We've all seen the sprawling development, and we want to make sure here at the Dude Ranch Foundation, we want to make sure these ranch lands remain intact. And so we are taking the opportunity to look at that and figure out how we can make a measurable difference. We have partnerships with a couple of great organizations, including the Association of Consulting Foresters. They employ great land management techniques. They have experts who know how to manage the land and how to mitigate wildfire, not just in forested areas, but in the rangelands themselves. We have a partner called Boa Safra Ag, and they have a brilliant mechanism in place where they can help ranchers deduct the nutrients in the soil through a tax savings. So they can deduct the fertility value just like they would barns, fencing, or irrigation. And so those are a couple partnerships we have in place. And really the goal is just to figure out how do we keep these ranch lands intact where we don't have them run over with miles upon miles of concrete and turning them into big box stores and those kind of things that we've all seen so much of.
What are ways that the association, the organizations are working toward that?
Right. That is, I would say, our greatest challenge to date. So as we look to the next 100 years,
yeah,
we are actively looking at how we can keep these ranch lands intact and where we can make a difference. Part of it is we want to look at helping ranchers maintain their lands in the absolute best way. This could be anywhere from looking at, like you said, regenerative grazing, maybe looking at the benefits of no-till. And also we're looking at conservation easements. We want to make sure that we're employing strategies that keep these ranch lands intact. And I know I've said that a couple of times. I guess I can't say it enough.
Ken, I'm just curious, how big is the average dude ranch? Maybe there's, you know, ranchers that we've seen them kind of going both ways. There's still some family ranches that are small. I don't know if there's a cooperative dude ranch effort out there, but I'm just looking at what's next for dude ranches. And maybe, Bryce, you mentioned, or you talk about that, the whole Western agritourism industry is really starting to emerge, even though you guys have been 100 years old.
I know. It's like we're finally getting a term that's being coined to help talk about, you know, what we've been doing for the last 100 years. But
right.
The agritourism is, it's an important industry. But honestly, to answer your prior question about ranch lands and, you know, the amount of acreage that each ranch kind of develops and, you know, sits on, it varies. We have ranches that have tens of thousands of acres between, you know, deeded ground and then also for service or BLM leases to be able to operate on. We have ranches that operate, crazily enough, on under 1,000 acres. I mean, it's just all depends on the operation for sure. And they're so vastly different that, you know, trying to create these industry standards and whatnot is struggles that we face for sure. But that was one of the whole purposes in 1926 when the Dude Ranchers Association was formed, was to develop these industry practices and industry standards that could help define this organization and people take it seriously.
Yeah, Josie, do you want to kind of weigh in there too? What else are we looking at here? I know we mentioned wildfire early on. You know, what does it take? What does a working ranch need to do if they're looking? Does it supplement people's income from time to time? What would they have to do, or what would they sacrifice on the ranching side of things if they wanted to be a dude ranch?
Right. Well, I don't know that there's one single answer, because we have, like Bryce said, 90 ranches across the Western United States. That actually includes a couple in Canada. So it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. And I think that's where it becomes hard as an organization to employ a specific strategy. But that's exactly why we have these great partners in place. And I'm really glad we mentioned the public lands, because a lot of these ranches depend on access to public lands.
Yeah.
And I think we'd all agree, and I'm sure all of the listeners would agree, that we need to work to keep public lands in public hands. And then really, it's inspiring to think how many acres we can work to preserve. Bryce, do you think it's safe to say that these dude ranches, just member ranches with the DRA, have millions of acres?
I would say that's safe to say. Yeah. And even the ranches that have been in our organization before that maybe are no longer operating as a guest ranch or dude ranch, or maybe just aren't, you know, meeting necessarily our certain guidelines and requirements anymore, they still classify, you know, they still qualify. And definitely when you take into those acres into consideration, it definitely would be millions, I would say.
What's the...
Yeah, millions of acres.
Yeah, I got like a minute and a half here, and I'm curious. I'm going to have you finish up, Bryce, with, you know, again, reiterating things going on at the National Convention as well. Does anybody know what the oldest dude ranch in Montana is?
Ooh, in Montana, we do, yes. And they're not currently an operating ranch. They were able to do a pop-up type scenario a couple of years ago, but it's the OTO Dude Ranch over by Gardner, Montana.
Well, that makes sense. That's some pretty rough ranching country. Hey, any final thoughts, Bryce? Josie?
Yeah. You know, Tom, I appreciate you having us, and we just hope that more people come to appreciate the Dude Ranch experience and the dude ranching industry for sure. And we hope that folks come out Tuesday evening to the Doubletree next week to see the Call of the West documentary premiere and come, you know, truly learn about it and develop that appreciation. Josie, do you have anything else to add?
10 seconds.
Well, that's exactly right. I hope to see everyone next Tuesday night at the Doubletree, and let's all work together to keep this industry thriving.
Josie Hederman again with the Dude Ranch Foundation, and Bryce Albright, Executive Director of Dude Ranchers Association, MontanaDRA.com and DudeRanch.org. Thank you, guys. Yeah, getting in a Western way here today. Welcome to your Monday. Hope you're doing well. Keep hacking away at it. Keep banging away at it. And you know, we'll work our way back to another Montana weekend, and then everything will be working out fine. Hey, again, 2 decades strong and working on 3. It's from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. Kind of fun. Talk about dude ranches. Now, these are actually real dudes and dudettes, if that's a word. Cowboys and cowgirls that, you know, they didn't do it for show. and probably didn't do it for dough. They did it for the love of the land, and they are being honored here. Montana has a Cowboy Hall of Fame, and you can visit that, MontanaCowboyFame.org. They are also going to have, this is quite a list. There are, looks like, about 12 districts, and this 2026 inductee class for the Cowboy Hall of Fame. We're going to roll through that here a little bit and talk about what makes a Hall of Fame cowboy. Dwayne Wilson would know. He is president of the Montana Cowboy Hall of Fame and Western Heritage Center, MCHF, and also longtime school board member and FFA Foundation teacher as well in the Wolf Point area. Good to have you on, Dwayne. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Tom. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about something that is really exciting to me and the history of Montana and what an important part that the cowboy culture and the Western heritage to recognize all those people that have done so much for our state.
Yeah, I really like that. I mean, let's go into first what. We'll talk about the Heritage Center there as well, the Western
sure.
Heritage Center.
Yep.
But let's go right into some of these stories. What makes a good Hall of Fame cowboy so that their name is mentioned here in this list?
Well, it's quite a story. We've been working at this for about history goes back way back, of course, but we've been working at this about 30 years to really get this off the ground. But what's the important part is the application process to read through those and see some of those applications. But I remember growing up, we had a gentleman that all the people in this area all talked about, Neil Taylor. And he was an old time, first generation come into the country, I think shortly after 1900. And I remember my dad and some of my people that were my grandpa's age talking about this Neil Taylor. Well, Neil Taylor is now an inductee, and he did a lot of things. He moved into the community. He started a ranch, became a fairly large rancher in the area and a horse trainer and did all those kinds of things. And to read about, he ended up in the legislature and did all kinds of really progressive things. And it was a big shaping of the culture of our Daniels County area. And then his daughter, Faye Taylor Phillips, she was also an inductee, and her contribution to the cowboy way of life. And I look back at, up in this area of our state, we have a long history of horse racing. And just a couple of years ago, the Danielsons were recognized, and he's a guy who's still training horses into his 80s, and he's the leading horse trainer in the most winningest horse trainer in the Canadian horse racing circuit. He's got the most wins. He started training horses right here in Scobie all those years ago, and so it's to see him and to get to know him and actually shake hands with him and sit at the table and have lunch with him at the induction was just a great thing to do and to see those old timers that have just shaped the culture of Montana.
Yeah, and what I like about them is, they have solid values, those rural values that we, those Montana values that we hold so high as well. And they didn't set out to be, Hall of Fame cowboys. They just, set out to just be a cowboy, right? Go ahead.
Nose to the grindstone, just nose to the grindstone kind of people.
Yeah. I think every one of those people who right now are running an open ranch, whether it's a cow-calf operation or maybe it's mostly grains or farming or just hay, and then even those now maybe you talk about how the cowboy has changed a little bit over the years. It's always been kind of seasonal in a lot of ways too. I think there's big jobs and small jobs on ranches nowadays.
Well, it really has changed. It was, I, of course, C.M. Russell is one of our inductees, and you always know him as an artist, but he was a cowboy first. And to read some of his stories, there's a book called C.M. Russell, The Cowboy Years, and it was written by a lady, and she actually visited with C.M. Russell's friends to find out about him. And he was all those ranchers, those cowboys at that time were seasonal guys. And, you know, they worked hard from early in the spring till in the fall when it got, and then they were basically had to catch as catch can for the winter because there wasn't an unemployment. And they did all kinds of things. And that's one of the things that got kept C.M. Russell through was then drawing those pictures and doing sculptures and all those kinds of things that got him through the winter. But he was, they worked and they worked hard and, you know, it was tough. I think of my grandpa, he came into this country and there were no fences, no roads, no towns. And for those guys to shape our communities and what they have become. And if it's between the ranching community and the mining, that's what settled our state. And so much of our state's history is surrounded by those two very important things. And nowadays, a cowboy's to succeed is almost to the more important part, just to sit behind a computer and push numbers around on paper in order to succeed. And, you know, it's changed that way.
Yeah.
A lot of the ranches have gotten bigger, but it's a lot different.
We are talking with Dwayne Wilson. He is with the Montana Cowboy Hall of Fame and Western Heritage Center. That's an actual place. All right. Well, and the 2026 inductees for the Montana Cowboy Hall of Fame. There's going to be a get together. It's Saturday, February 14th. It'll be at the Heritage Inn in Great Falls. Starts early, the inductee recognition ceremony brunch, 10:30 a.m. Only a slight charge for that, $35. Talk more about this Cowboy Hall of Fame, like you said, Dwayne. It's been around probably longer than people recognize. You guys are getting out, I think, a whole lot more nowadays.
Yeah, we're finally found a spot we can actually have a place to display our stuff and see it. That we've partnered with the C.M. Russell Museum in Helena, and we now actually have a section of the museum that's set up just for us.
Yeah.
And, in that area, you can go down there and read about and see all of the stories of all of our inductees over these years. We've been inducting people for a lot of years, and we have the living inductees, and those are the people that are still alive, and those are individuals that are still out there being cowboys and contributing to our agricultural community. And then we have the legacy, and that's the people that have passed on before us, or the ranches, many of them that are still in existence, and the businesses that are old time, but they still exist and they still go on from this time. And we make a big joke out of it. It's like the movie about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, we've got as one of our things is that we recognize the good and the bad and the really darn ugly, because we've got ranchers and all the positive people, but we've got outlaws in there, and we've spent a lot of time recognizing the Native American culture and all of that history, the Sitting Bulls and the Crazy Horses and all those that have shaped Montana from that standpoint too. It's been just great to read the stories about those.
Yeah, we're going to come back after this break, Dwayne, and talk more the 2026 Saddle of Honor Award. It's somebody who's sure. Who's well-known around the Cowboy Ball and Benefit Auction, which gets underway February 14th. We'll talk about that as well. And the Montana Cowboy Hall of Fame and Western Heritage Center, big inductees and ceremonies upcoming here for 2026. Back with more here in just a bit.
Ask any traveler, there's no other place in the world like the O'Hare Motor Inn. If your journeys take you to Charlie Russell country, stay where we do, right in downtown Great Falls. The modern Western hospitality of one of Montana's most famous motels. Great food at Clark and Louie's Pub and Grill and the legendary Sip and Dip Lounge. The O'Hare's unique Sip and Dip Tiki Lounge features a glass wall between the bar and the swimming pool so you can watch the mermaids swim while you sip your beverage. You've got to see it to believe it. The one-of-a-kind O'Hare Motor Inn in Great Falls.
Is that a snowplow ahead? Give it room to work. Montana Department of Transportation drivers are clearing the roads for you, so please, don't crowd the plow. Stay back, don't hug the center line, and don't overtake a plow if you can't see around. For road conditions, call 511, visit 511MT.net, or download the app. Know before you go. A safety message from the Montana Department of Transportation.
No matter how far you may go, there's always one just down the road.
Town Pump!
Pump it up!
Pump it up!
It's time to refresh yourself. Stop by your local Town Pump and grab a 20-ounce Pepsi product, 2 for $4. And Poppy sodas are 2 for $4.50. Stop by anytime for great savings. Town Pump, convenient and right down the road.
Town Pump!
Right down the road!
Pump it up!
Montana is built on strong, vibrant, healthy communities. From our smallest towns to our largest cities, Stockman is committed to taking care of the people of Montana. Every employee, customer, and neighbor matters to us. That's why our donations stay in Montana to work for Montana. From keeping the Friday night lights shining to supporting the prosperity of Montanans, we don't just believe in local, we are local. We are Stockman Bank, Montana's brand of banking. Member FDIC.
I'm Jenny Stovall. So in agriculture, it's all a risk. And in order to deal with that, it's very difficult just to go through life and just smile and wave the little rodeo wave. You know, you always think the grass is greener on the other side. And that's where, you know, you do need to go beyond the weather if things aren't. Otherwise, you go down a downward spiral. So if you know anyone that needs help, please send them to beyondtheweather.com for free counseling for farmers and ranchers.
Montana Cowboy Hall of Fame and Western Heritage Center President Dwayne Wilson standing by here. Welcome back. A couple of mentions here. The Montana MSU Bobcat Parade and Celebration. It was really, really nice. It really was. So congratulations to the Bobcat fans there as well and to Montana for that celebration. There are funeral services today for Lincoln County Undersheriff John Hyslop, who had served a lot of years in that area, in Lincoln area, or pardon me, Libby area in Lincoln County. So just a shout out to all of those who sacrificed so much for our public safety. And then something we'll be talking about, this controversial land management and grazing dispute involving American Prairie Reserve, or American Prairie. Recently, the BLM issued a notice of proposed decision to rescind their previous approval, which went against the Taylor Grazing Act for grazing bison there. So that'll be a key issue we'll be talking about here as the week rolls on. Northern News Network, or the Northern Ag Network, great sites to follow for updating on that. Tomorrow, Deliver Fund Live. We'll be talking about the sad realities about human trafficking. It exists in all 50 states, thousands of kids and adults alike are victims. So tomorrow we'll be talking with members of Deliver Fund and about human trafficking. And back now to the Montana Cowboy Hall of Fame. It's Dwayne Wilson. Dwayne, appreciate you coming on here. Who do you know? I mean, let's see. You've got a living and a legacy nominee or inductee for each of the 12 districts. Talk about one that pops out for you.
Well, one that pops out to me, among others, is what I actually nominated this group and or this people, and that's the Montana Mad Hatters out of the Twin Bridges area. Sheila Kirkpatrick Master and her daughter Erica, they actually are in the hat business, and they create Montana made hats, and they've been doing. Sheila's been at this for about 35, 40 years, and I actually wear one of her hats and I'm proud to do that. But the contribution, she made a hat that's been in that was made for President Bush. And it was in they used it in the part of the inauguration when it was one of her places. But she's just a great lady, and I'm really excited to be part of her nomination to get in there. And it's just awesome to see somebody that you actually know get nominated and then make it into the hall, and to see the contribution that her family's made to cowboy culture.
Yeah. I've talked with this gal over the years here as a cowgirl, and definitely worthy of the Saddle of Honor Award. And that is Iola Ole Else from Western Montana College. Talk about this Lady of Western Education Award.
So the Saddle of Honor started out as a part of our cooperation with the C.M. Russell. And C.M. Russell was the first Saddle of Honor winner because of his contribution to ARCH. But we also do education. And with Jay Kant Wade, he's also received the Saddle of Honor. And now we're actually, this will be another person that in another avenue that's made such a contribution to the Western way of life. And it's actually a bronze. She'll receive a bronze as part of ARCH. We do it every other year, and she'll receive a bronze, a saddle that's a replica of Charlie Russell's actual saddle. And it's just gonna, I haven't met her for many years. I talked to her probably 30 years ago, but today actually I'll get a chance to visit with her here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Let's see, I got a minute left here. So you've got the induction ceremony, which is Saturday, February 14th at the Heritage Inn in Great Falls. That comes with a brunch. It starts at 10:30 a.m. And you're also, I think there's free admission Saturday at the Charles M. Russell Museum. Give us the 40-second version of what this ceremony is and what it means.
Well, we'll read all the letters of induction for each person. We'll actually give them a plaque. I have a time to take pictures of each of the 24 folks that are getting inducted, or representatives of the families. Brings people from all over the country. We've had people from thousands of miles apart to bring families back together that haven't even met each other to come and honor their ancestors in this way. And then we'll read all of that. Then in the afternoon, we'll part together. We do have our annual meeting of the membership in that afternoon, and then open house there at the Russell Museum. And you'll get a chance to see our display down there and a chance to tour the museum.
Find out more at MontanaCowboyFame.org. Dwayne Wilson. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.